a man is poor, that's bad, but he can recover from that. If a man doesn't have a house, that's bad, but he can recover from that. If a man doesn't have a good job, that's bad, but he can recover from that. But if a man dies without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you just hit him with a blow he can never recover from.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why, despite the circumstances, ministry matters.
And ministry always involves touching a life with eternity in mind.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. As life gets more and more hectic, you juggle the needs of your family, your job, and sometimes squeeze in a little time for yourself. So who has time or energy left over for outreach? Well, Dr. Evans says there's a unique way for believers to do it all. Let's join him as he explains how.
I want to talk a little bit today about the ministry of stewardship. I want to say four things. First of all, let me say a word about the place of ministry. Turn with me again to Malachi 3. I just want to briefly look at a phrase in this last book of the Old Testament. In Malachi 3, when he challenges Israel about their robbery of God, he says in verse 10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house." What I want you to observe is that there is an equating of the storehouse with God's house. The storehouse is called my house. Now, of course, in the Old Testament economy, he is talking about the temple. And the temple was where the glory of God was. There was storage for that which would serve as the foundation of ministry to the broader society. It was where the Levites had their center for dispensing the word of God. It was where there was grain to take care of the poor in Israel, the poor Jewish people. And it was where it was the center for which they serviced the Gentiles, the broader society. So when we talk about the temple, we're talking about the epicenter of life. And God calls it his storehouse, and he then calls it my house. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. "So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." He calls Christians God's household. He calls the church at Ephesus God's household. Verse 20, "Having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone or the alignment stone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing," now watch this, "into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." The New Testament calls the local church a visible, physical expression of an Old Testament term. He calls us a temple. Now, the Bible calls your body a temple. God lives in you, but he doesn't refer to the individual here. He refers here to the collection of saints, so that when we all come together to do ministry, we are a collective temple. In the temple was where God hung out. The local church, when it is functioning properly, is the physical hangout of God for the benefit not only of the community of believers, but for the benefit of the community in which that church is located. Or to put it another way, when the church is being the church when it comes to ministry, the community will know God hangs out here. The question that every church will face and that this church will face is not simply are we a church, but are we a temple? Because Ephesians 2 says we're supposed to be a temple. We're supposed to be the hangout of God. The question is, are we clearly and visibly a place where God hangs out? Because you can get fed the word here, because the needs of the saints are met here, and because impact in the community goes out from here. When those three things happen, which was the job of the Old Testament temple, then you know that you and I are not just a building we come to on Sunday. We're not just a place where we dress up to hear a preacher preach and sing a sing and to worship God vertically, but that we are a community of people who are about ministry. That's what God has called us to. That's what He's called you to. And collectively, see, you can only do so much as an individual, but when we come together, the power of what we can do in ministry is nothing short of staggering. And that's why God calls you to be a part of a local church, to let you know you're part of something bigger than you. See? When you're not part of a local church, not only are you in sin because you're rebelling against God's kingdom, but you are a munchkin Christian. You are a miniature saint. And the reason why you are a miniature saint is because you don't understand you're part of something bigger here. In every major country of the world, you can find an American embassy. Do you know what an American embassy is? It is a little bit of America a long way from home. Any country you go into, you will find an American embassy staffed by Americans. And so if you get in trouble in a foreign country, you appeal to your American embassy. Well, guess what the church is supposed to be? Heaven's embassy. We are a little bit of heaven a long way from home. If people want to get a view of heaven, they should be able to come to the temple. If people want to get a view of what heaven thinks about a subject, they should come to the temple and get a heavenly perspective. If anybody wants to know what eternity's viewpoint is, they have a place located in time in the community in which they live, but we will point them to how they can get a heavenly perspective. That is the job of the temple. It is a place of ministry, not a place of performance. And that's why all through the Old Testament, God talks about taking care of His house. And this is the house of God, not because of a carpet or steps or pews. That doesn't make us a temple of God. It's not because of orchestras or wires that gives you sound systems, or we could be in a warehouse with folding metal chairs. Because what makes this a church can only be defined by the ministry that occurs there. Now, praise God, God has given us a wonderful building to worship Him in, and I'm not degrading the building, but I am saying if the only thing we've got going for us at this church is come see our new building with a chandelier in the foyer, we've missed the kingdom. We ought to be about ministry, and ministry always involves touching a life with eternity in mind. It is never simply involved with showing off your facilities. This is about ministry. Now, what you and I must understand is that the church is the only organization Jesus came to build. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't want you to misunderstand, so let me clarify it. The church is the central institution in history. Your family is not. Now, don't get me wrong. Your family is the foundation of civilization. Your family is critical. We could not function without families. Family is the foundation. But family is not enough, nor is family the center of civilization. In God's stewardship, kingdom, ministry, economy, the church, and only the church, is the center of civilization. Now, why is that so? Because it is the church and not your family that goes into eternity. Your family is limited to time. There will never be any more marriage, for which many of you are saying, thank God for that. But in heaven, you're not married, neither is one given in marriage. Now, why would such a great institution stop on earth and not continue into eternity? Simple. When you have the real thing, you don't need the illustration anymore. And family on earth is supposed to be an illustration of something bigger. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband like the church submits to Christ, okay? See, it's part of something bigger. So when Jesus has His bride, He doesn't want many families running around. because there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it is the church that is the central institution in God's kingdom agenda in history. So if you and your family are not dynamically plugged into, part of, ministering through the church, you have missed this bigger thing that you are to be part of. I say in one of my books that the greatest illustration of biblical Christianity in the history of America was the African-American church in slavery. Bar none. You can read through all the annals of all the books, but the African church in slavery was the greatest illustration of biblical Christianity in the history of America. Now, it doesn't receive that clout in general historical church ecclesiastical studies, but think of it for a minute. Without any government support, no government programs, no grants, being in the worst social situation possible, it not only hewed out a religious order that brought men into relationship with God, but it also built schools and law firms and political action and social action, and it built surrogate families, and it networked into something that became the epicenter of all of cultural life. That's what the church is supposed to be. But we've become so secularized as Christians. We've become so marginalized as Christians. We have become so organizational that we have lost the dynamic of ministry.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with five reasons he thinks the church should be right at the center of life in your community. First, though, I have some great news for you. If the stresses in your life have been making you feel anxious or fearful, we'd like to send you, absolutely free, a great book by Dr. Evans called Let It Go. It'll teach you how to recognize when those powerful emotions aren't just feelings, but strongholds, a kind of spiritual trap that keeps too many of us captive. You'll learn how to break free, beat worry, and face tough times with a new kind of confidence. This popular book has already helped nearly 100,000 people, and we'd like it to help you, too. Contact us today to request a copy of Let It Go, and we'll send it to you absolutely free. But remember, we only have a limited number of copies available, and this is the last day we can make this special offer available. So be sure to visit TonyEvans.org to get yours right away. And when you do, be sure to check into getting a copy of Tony's current teaching series, Principles of Christian Stewardship. This two-volume, 16-message collection on CD or DVD contains insights on what it means to be a good manager of the resources God gave you. It includes several bonus messages and additional material we won't be able to present on the air this time around. And right now, for just a few more days, we're making Volume 2 of this popular series available on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. So visit us today at TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Make your contribution and let us send you Principles of Christian Stewardship, Volume 2 on CD, plus the book Let It Go. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
There are five reasons why the church is supposed to be the key to community life. Five reasons. Number one, it is the only institution located everywhere. Sometimes two and three on a corner. You can't go to a community anywhere and not find a church or a churchhead. So that's number one, it's everywhere. So you can't help but run into them. Secondly, they meet every week. Nobody meets every week. Holidays included, all right? So they have a captured time. Thirdly, they have the potential, watch this, for the largest volunteer force of any organization in the culture. Fourthly, they already have buildings, and if we had ever learned to use them more than Sunday morning and Wednesday night, we'd be dangerous. Most churches already have facilities that if they would use them strategically for the comprehensive nature of temple ministry, then we already have facilities to get the job done for the programs that we need to have to do the ministry we need to complete. And fifthly, and this is the most important of all, it is just about the only morally, spiritually based institution left. We live in a relativistic culture today that's lost all sense of absolute truth. There ought to be one place you can go that says, this is the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. That's the church. That leads to a second point, the price of ministry. Salvation is free, ministry cost. The average Christian gives less than 3% of their income to the church. Only 20% of Christians tithe. Christians spend more money on snacks and dog food than they spend on ministry. All ministry can be done, should be done, because God's people invest in that which has an eternal perspective. No Christian should ever rob God. And God says in Malachi 3, if you do not give me the tithe, if 10% does not come to me first, and it should be more than that, but if that's not your minimum that you give me on a regular basis, that is theft. And just like stealing from an individual is wrong, stealing from God is worse. Now you remember Haggai chapter 1. Let's turn there because some of y'all forgot that. I want to show you this one because this is convicting. Verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now, therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 6, you have sown much, but harvested little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothes, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages and puts them in a purse full of holes. Anybody living like that? You never get enough? Well, guess why? Because every time you get something, God cuts a hole in your pocket. You thought the water heater just happened to break down. God broke it. God says, no, you cannot look after your house and skip my house. Because your house is not the center of civilization. My house is. Now, God is not against your house. He's not against you having paneling. He's not against you buying a bigger house. He's against you forgetting his house to do it. Notice what Nehemiah says. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 38. Look at the last two verses. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tenth of the tithes into the house of our God, to the chambers of the storehouse. For the sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of the grain, the new wine, the oil, to the chambers. They are the utensils of the sanctuary, the priests who are ministering, the gatekeepers and the singers. In other words, to support the ministry, thus we will not neglect the house of God. They would not neglect the house of God because it was the center of life. Thirdly, the people of ministry. We looked at the place, we looked at the price. Nobody should be giving God less than a tenth. And then over and above that, offerings, which increases what God is free to do with you. The people of ministry. You see, some people believe in Christianity cafeteria style, that is self-service only. That's cul-de-sac Christianity. And the biblical word for this is good works. That's the biblical phrase for ministry. Good works. So many scriptures I could talk about. But Ephesians 2:10 says, God saved you for, you're not saved by works, but you're saved for works. What is a good work? By the way, only Christians can do good works. Non-Christians can do good things. Non-Christians cannot do good works. And there is a difference. What's the difference between a good thing and a good work? A non-Christian can build a hospital, can build an orphanage, can feed the poor. Not to be a Christian to do a good thing, but that's not a good work. A good work always is done to benefit somebody else so that God publicly gets the glory. Okay? Matthew 5, verse 16. Let men see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Whenever God doesn't get the glory, it's not a good work. If you have to do something good and Jesus Christ can't be mentioned, it's a nice thing, but it's not a good work. Galatians 6 says, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. That there is a responsibility from the congregation to the minister and the ministries that are led by him. Because if they're giving you the word of God, that's what's going to take you to success. 1 Corinthians 9, 6 to 14 says that the preacher should make his living from the gospel. Why? Because he is giving out the word that is feeding you. Deuteronomy 33, verse 10 says that the ministers were to proclaim the truth of God to the people so that they would not be operating on a lie. And many of you are defeated because you've been listening to the wrong folk. You've been listening to lies in the newspaper, and Satan has got you going every which way but loose because you've just been so infiltrated with lies that you're living on what you were in Adam and not who you are in Christ, and you're being defeated in a lie. He says, make sure that you're getting the truth from the preacher and make sure that he is in the position of giving you the truth, because then you will succeed. Because if it's based on the word of God, it's not based on a lie. And finally, the proclamation of the gospel to the unsaved to fulfill the Great Commission. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 says, of first importance is the gospel. You know why? Because if a man is poor, that's bad, but he can recover from that. If a man doesn't have a house, that's bad, but he can recover from that. If a man doesn't have a good job, that's bad, but he can recover from that. If a man doesn't have nice transportation, that's bad, but he can recover from that. But if a man dies without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you just hit him with a blow he can never recover from. And that's why no matter what social service you do, what ministry you do, what good work you do, you open your mouth up about Jesus Christ, because that man may go into eternity without Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there will be rich people in hell and poor people in hell, upper class people in hell, lower class people in hell, because the issue of eternity has got nothing to do with what side of town you live on. It has to do with, do you know the Savior?
Dr. Tony Evans, asking the most important question of all. And in just a few moments, he'll come back with some final thoughts to wrap up our time together. So please stay with us. If you'd like to review this lesson on your own or share it with your church, it's available on CD or DVD. It's also part of Tony's current 2-volume audio or video series called Principles of Christian Stewardship, an in-depth look at how God wants us to manage the resources He's given us and the freedom and security we can experience when we do. But don't forget, for a few more days, we're making Volume 2 of Principles of Christian Stewardship available on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. These 8 lessons cover vital aspects of this important topic, so be sure to request it today before this special offer runs out. And the same goes for the book I mentioned earlier, Let It Go, Breaking Free from Fear and Anxiety. We'll be glad to send you a copy absolutely free, but only while supplies last, and only if we hear from you today. So be sure to visit us at tonyevans.org and make your request. That's tonyevans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. Our phone center never closes, so there's no need to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. Well, on Monday, Dr. Evans explains that money is only the beginning of what God wants to provide for us, and he talks about how to live with confidence, financially and in every other way. But now, as promised, he's back with a closing thought for today.
An usher was coming and passing the plate, and this lady, who he knew was a very wealthy lady, kept letting the plate pass. So he would come back and come right back to her row and pass the plate again. She let the plate go. He come right back to her row, pass the plate again. She was getting ticked off now. She passed the plate on. This last time he came and he said, well, lady, if you're not gonna put anything in, then please take something out, because this offering is for the heathen anyway. And many of us are heathen because we sit and we are blessed by God, and yet we can't open up our mouths about Jesus Christ. We praise God for His goodness, yet He doesn't see it coming back to His house. And we're like the heathen. What God is calling on us to do is be a place of ministry.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.